Good evening, this is Rabbi Maevsky.
I entitled tonight, What is Justice? And we'll see, because it's very interesting. Parsha Shosha begins and ends with a similar topic. And it says, and it develops the idea of responsibility and accountability, and therefore we get to the topic, what is justice? And what we have different than all other nations is we have God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, backing us up. And what he does is give us certain rules and regulations for judges. And certain of the things we've seen, we discussed last night, Adam Zomerman, various other topics of that nature. There are a lot of chukim in this. In fact, with Adam Zomerman, the Rambam just says, it's a chok, I can't explain it. There's nothing really to say, you just have to accept it. Of course, there are other people who feel differently about it. I mean, other Rishonim. But the fact remains, it says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol shorecha. When we want to establish a city, when we want to establish any kind of community of any kind that has 120 people living in it, we have to immediately establish, before life could go on, we have to establish a bezdin. We have to establish judges. We have to establish a police force. I know today what's going on in the world with defunding the police here, we're talking about people who are inherently Torah-observing Jews, 613 mitzvot. This is fresh to them, and they're certainly out of great pride in having the land, taking over the land, which will come about very shortly. And in deference to that, they certainly will go about it to show their thanks and try their best at this point in time to obey the laws. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Moshe is telling them through, of course, through God, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. You always need justice. You always need people in government to run the justice system, and you have to have police. Things always develop. It doesn't matter how civil you are. Police are always going to be necessary. There are always going to be disagreements, and various things happen. And we know, so Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol shorecha. And so therefore, with the people in mind, after they go through many years in the parasha, many years in Eretz Yisrael, they get to the point in the time of Shmuel HaNavi. And Shmuel HaNavi in his day, as he was reaching towards the end of his life, or wasn't that close to the end, but nevertheless, he's well into his life as a Navi, and the people say, we want a king, k'chol ha-goyim asher svivo soy. And Shmuel gets very angry. And God tells Shmuel, God tells Shmuel, you should not be angry. You'll give them what they want. They want a king, give them a king. They're angry with me. In other words, they're dissatisfied with me. I'm the one that should be insulted. When they said, when the Torah says in this week's parasha, and people always ask the question, why should it be that when it says, Kol ha-goyim asher svivo soy, it says, Som tosim olecho melech, that they should be angry? It seems that one of the mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael, the three mitzvot, is, of course, among them, the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, having a king and wiping out Amalek and building a Beis HaMikdash, not in that order, but necessarily that's what they told him to do. And now they're asking for a king. But the reality is, if you take a look at the pasuk, you don't have to examine it very closely, but if you just see it, the words, God says to them, Som tosim o melech, asher tzivcho Hashem elokecha. God will be happy. I will choose a king for you. But when they asked him and they said, K'chol ha-goyim asher svivo soy, we want a king, they didn't ask for one that would be a necessarily Shomer Torah mitzvot and somebody who would lead them in the Torah fashion, the same as Shmuel HaNavi, but they wanted a king just to be a ruler of some kind without specifying his midos. And that's why it says that he has to rechosav lo sefer, he has to write a sefer Torah, v'korabo kol yimei chayav, because if you're going to do it, if you want a king, he has to be somebody who is very well acquainted with justice. And as we see with Shlomo HaMelech, all the great decisions that he made in his life, because he was a true Ben Torah, so to speak, and David HaMelech as well, with all the things that he had in life, he always accepted the fact that he had to abide by all the 613 mitzvot. And we move on and we see that that is what God wants. And so we get to the point of when we get to the end of the parasha and we see something very interesting. We get to the laws, among other things that seem to be quizzical in terms of, besides Edom Zomim, we have the whole scenario of an Egla Arufa. And now, what is the point of an Egla Arufa? The point of an Egla Arufa is very understandable in one fact. We want to establish we have judges, and we have judges that are making all the right decisions, hopefully, and the Sanhedrin is at the Lishkos HaGozis, as I said previously, that when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and if they're sitting by the Lishkos HaGozis, the Shechina, which is in the Beis HaMikdash, will fall upon them. They'll get the, so to speak, the electricity will emanate from the Beis HaMikdash into the minds of the judges, and they will make a proper judgment. But the fact remains that there are problems, and there are people, there are murders committed, there are different crimes that people do commit, and that's why we always need police. This whole idea of defunding the police is very funny, because even in a good society, one needs police, and that's what the lesson of the Torah is here. But nevertheless, why does it say Umadu Duhel Arim? Why does it say that they have to find out who lo no dami koho, somebody is murdered and we don't know who did it? What is the whole scenario of going through this whole ceremony of taking an Egla Arufa and making this whole ceremony taking so long to find out, try to find out who did it, but they don't have any witnesses and it's getting to the point where they don't know what to do? And God says, they have to, the judges have to take, they measure to see which city is closest to. Now, what's the point of measuring? They could do this without measuring, but the point is we're trying to establish accountability and responsibility. We know when we learned in Parshas Maaseh that when somebody has to run away to Ari Miklat, he stays there until Admos HaKohen HaGadol. And until what is the reason that the Kohen Gadol is saddled with all this whole responsibility that the people go home from Ari Miklat when the Kohen Gadol dies, because the Gemara says that he should have prayed better for the different attitude of the people. They should have been more of Yirei Shemayim, that these things wouldn't happen. He didn't do his job by praying for them. We see what happens in the establishment of the courts over here. What does it say over here when it tells us to establish the court system? It says, V'nikshu ha-Kohanim v'ha-Leviim. Why does it specify particularly Kohanim and Leviim? Because who will be more capable of being the judges? For one thing, Kohanim and Leviim are certainly more learned, but why would they be more learned than the average citizen? It's a very simple reason, and that is because they have the time. They don't have to earn a living in terms of working the land. They have other responsibilities. They have a greater amount of time to sit and learn, and that is their trade. And therefore, most of the Sanhedrin and most of the judges of 23, which will be in each tribe, they will be Kohanim and Leviim. So therefore, that's the use of the terminology. And the same thing is that Admos HaKohen HaGadol, they did not do their job. And these people, the Ziknei Oir, the Gemara says, Lo alu al daitcha, that the Zik the Kanim was guilty of the crime. But when it says they have to say Yodenu lo shafku, it doesn't mean we suspect them in any way, shape, or form of being guilty of the crime. But Yodenu lo shafku means they are trying to wash their hands of the responsibility, the same way the Kohen Gadol is responsible for the people in Ari Miklat, that shouldn't happen. These people, they did not pray hard enough to avoid it. And that's why we measure. We need to always establish responsibility. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was all about. Never take anything for granted. One must have a total sense. Everything has to be accountable. And that is what we're talking about, all the things that we have. One of the things that we have a problem with when it says, Vayelech, Vayavod, Elohim Acherim, Vayishtachu Lehem, Velashemesh, Ola Yareach, Ola Chol Tzua Shemaim, Asher Lo Tzivisi. Somebody asked me in shul this week, what do you mean it says, Asher Lo Yodato? We had in last week's parasha about idols, that you, Asher Lo Yodom, that you don't know, Asher Lo Tzivisi. Of course, it's very obvious, Asher Lo Tzivisi, that these are people, these are things, all these other things. There's only one God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But when we say Asher Lo Tzivisi, it's very strange, the language. It makes it sound like there are gods, perhaps, that I did command. I mean, that's obvious, Asher Lo Tzivisi. What does that actually mean? Asher Lo Tzivisi means very simply, in other words, not that I didn't command them. I didn't command them to have any power. I put them in the sky. The Leshemesh and the Yoreah, one might make a thought, think that since they are there every day, they set and they are instruments of God themselves. And sometimes we get the thought process, there are those who might mistake the idea that the sun rises and sets and does have power. We see that the moon, we bless the moon every month, and there's a cycle of Birchas Hachama as well, that they may be, so to speak, some sort of deity in their own right, but Asher Lo Tzivisi, I did not that I didn't command you to worship them, but Asher Lo Tzivisi, I did not give them any power. Asher Lo Tzivisi, I didn't command them to do anything different than what I have. They are just servants of me as well. And that is a lesson for anything else, of course, that people may rise, like we had in Novi Sheker in last week's parasha. But all these things of Ugad Lachavishamato, and that's why we say Vidarashto Heitev, and we always have to investigate. The same thing by Egel Arufa. What is the point of Egel Arufa making this whole ceremony? Is, of course, the Gemara says, we're hoping by making this big to-do, so to speak, that the people will somehow, the word will spread that this and this crime took place and this place, and maybe a witness will step forward. But nevertheless, this is how the parasha begins. Titen lecha b'chol shorecha. You will have to do the appointing. These people are going to work for you, and you better make sure that you choose people who are capable of being judges, and they cannot be subject to any bribery. Lo sikach shochad. They can't be subject to anything that may be a cause for any sort of corruption. And that's what we're always afraid of. Accountability, responsibility. And that's what Torah is trying to tell us. One other thing that's very interesting, when it says, why does it specify over here, is that the Abarbanel makes a very interesting point over here in saying, when we talk about Parshas Mishpatim, we have an interesting pasuk when it says, why does it only use the female version? And over here it specifies a man or a woman. The tendency in society is to have a little more a rachmanis on a woman. We see many times certain crimes, not to say good or bad, but nevertheless, sometimes women are treated with more rachmanis because it's a woman, and we want to, and God has to specify when it comes to heinous crimes about making other people worship other things that is at the fabric of Yiddishkeit, which we're trying to establish here by Shoftim Vishotrim, we're trying to establish a society. You must put aside all this rachmanis. We understand for a man, but even for a woman, even a woman who your tendency is to have a little more rachmanis, and that's what you shouldn't do. So everything is over here. We're talking about the judges and the police that have to avoid, obviously we always want to avoid corruption, but the police and the judges have to be very, very good people, and just doing your job by arresting somebody or by doing your job by judging them equitably is not, that's not where your job ends. That's only the end result of the job. But what you have to do, your prime responsibility in keeping the law, is by praying hard and that these things don't come to court, that these crimes are not committed. This is obviously a tremendous departure from the other nations of the world. And that is what we're talking about. The parasha begins with Shoftim Vishotrim and ends with Yodenu Lo Shafku Es Adam Hazeh. Imagine if a politician, every time there was a crime committed, had to get up on his national television and say, I know this is my fault, but I'll do better next time. I'll pray harder that these crimes are not committed again. he might take his job a little more seriously and rein in the crime, the statistics. He might take a different tactic about how he controls the crime in society if he felt and he knew that every time there's a crime committed, the politician himself, whether he's the governor, whether he's the president, that each one of those people are part and parcel responsible for every single crime, because if they're in charge of the judicial system, if they have that kind of power, it's up to them to maintain the peace. Hopefully that we may see an end to all of these tragedies that we read day in and day out, and that we have people in power who understand the difference between Jewish law and Jewish justice. As we see in Parashas Mishpatim, there is no jail in Jewish law. When we have somebody who commits a crime, he has to go work for the person who to work off the debt from the money that he stole. God wants everything to be equitable. We have an easy case when there's one scenario when we know that somebody commits a crime, and not a capital crime, and he is caught, he gets malchus, and we know it's always kim leibid d'merabimine, whereas there's one exception to the rule where if somebody steals money and now he's caught, and since he can only be punished one way, he's certainly chayiv malchus. But the person who's short the money is thinking to himself, what good does giving him lashes do for me? I'd rather have my money back. And that's the interesting thing. And the Torah is a very rational statement. People look at the Torah, and I get these questions that are from people who think the Torah is a lot of mumbo jumbo. The Torah has passed us by. Asher yiyeh bayomim lahem, it says in the Torah. The Torah is for all generations. It's not there to go when they ask a king what was God insulted about. The people wanted new rules. They wanted something that would be more applicable. Shmuel Hanavi in their eyes was just bringing forth the same old rules, the same old style. They wanted a king who would be more inclined to be more with it. Something new in their generation. They were now in the 2900s, and they wanted to be certainly on some level to have new laws to get like other people in the world. And God said that's why he's insulted. When we appoint judges in Judaism, the laws don't change. The Torah was created and given to the Jews in 2448, and it hasn't changed one iota since. May we all see the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Taryag Mitzvos. Have a good evening. Good night.